This is part 8 of Connected to the Source, the series that I've been preaching as I've been traveling this summer. When sin is allowed to go unchecked, it grows and the distance between you and Almighty Yahweh gets larger. Our ministry is to bring people to Yahweh through the saving grace of Yahshua the Messiah. Satan divides, but Yahshua redeems. We cannot produce any changes in anyone. We don't try to impress people with how much we know or have experience. We don't seek to get results with great swelling or inflammatory words. We don't try to force change by bribing or by manipulation, by guilt, condemnation, or judgment. Our job is to set up a confrontation with the Savior. And this can only happen if and when we are properly aligned with Yahweh and His purpose. Repentance is a change of heart that leads to a radical change in your life. It is evident in your daily habits as you keep the covenant. This includes the clean food laws, keeping of the Sabbaths, tithing, and all other ordinances given at Sinai. Repentance leads us to putting on the character of Yahshua the Messiah. Our first scripture, turn with me in your script, your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yahshua our Master, seeing that His supernatural power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the heavenly nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And we know that that corruption is taking us away from Almighty Yahweh, that lust of the flesh, that lust of the things of this world. Do you have a like precious faith of the Savior? Or has Satan affected your walk? Most people believe that they're walking in truth even when they're in sin. They can't see it because they've been blinded. And when Satan has you blinded, because he blinds the minds of the unbelieving, people fall away. They lose that like precious faith. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. That's Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And the man knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of Yahweh. And again she bare his brother Abel. and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. So Cain did give an offering to Yahweh. And verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat of it. And Yahweh had respect to Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So, you know, there's a lot there that's not brought out in the text that you have to actually trust the Holy Spirit to bring out. Obviously, there was a reason for the type of offering, and a lot of people surmise that this is a Passover thing. You know, Abel is offering the firstlings of his flock, and Cain was offering of the fruit of the ground. And Yahweh had respect to Abel's, but not Cain's. Okay? But doesn't matter why, because Yahweh is in control. He's the one that's in control. What matters is this. In verse 5, it says, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was angry, very angry. It says Cain was very angry. And his face fell. And Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? So obviously what Cain did was not considered well with Yahweh. Okay? Now, when we look at our lives and we look at what we are commanded to do, we also, from time to time, obviously, do the same thing Cain did. We may come with the wrong offering or the wrong attitude to Almighty Yahweh. And he says here in verse 7, if you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin crouches at the door, and to you shall be his desire, but you shall rule over him. Talking about sin and Satan the devil. See, because he's the author of it. And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So Cain did not heed Yahweh's warning. Even though Yahweh told him sin was at the door. How many of us heed the warning that Almighty Yahweh gives us? And that's what the word is for. This is what he gives us the instructions for. See, we see in Genesis this separation. Satan got in and caused the separation between Almighty Yahweh and his people, between Adam, between Eve. Satan got in there. And trust me, brethren, he does it with each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. His job. That's his job. To get in there and separate us from Almighty Yahweh. Cain killed Abel because he lusted after the praise of Yahweh that was given to his brother Abel. See, Yahweh had respect to Abel's offering, but to Cain he had no respect. He was jealous of him. What did Abel do to Cain? He did nothing to him. Abel just did what was right to Almighty Yahweh. So we see in life that you're going to have people who are jealous over the right things that you do. But you continue to do them. You don't stop. You continue. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1, where we were previously. Second Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 5 this time. Yes. And for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge. Let's back up. I'm sorry. 2 Peter, same chapter, verse 1, but I want to start in verse 4. It says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the heavenly nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And that's something that Cain didn't do. He fell into it. He didn't escape it. Yes, in verse 5, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge. And in knowledge, self-control. Because once we have knowledge and we're keeping the covenant, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And one of those gifts is self-control. And in self-control, patience. And in patience, holiness. And in your holiness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Did Cain show love to Abel? No, he didn't. He took his life. For if these things are yours and are bound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful to the knowledge of the sovereign Yahshua, the Messiah. For he who lacks these things is blind. And Cain was blind. He was blind with envy. He was blind with jealousy. And he was blind with lust, because he lusted Almighty Yahweh's praise that was given to Abel. Seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sin. Yahweh told Cain that sin crouched at the door. But see, He did not heed what Almighty Yahweh brought to his attention. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start at verse 1. This series of messages is called Connected to the Source. We want to stay connected to Almighty Yahweh. It says in verse 1, for I do not wish, brethren, to have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual food. They ate that manna and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank that water. A spiritual rock, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Messiah. And Yahshua gave them that spiritual water. However, with most of them, Yahweh was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. All of the adults that came out of Egypt were overthrown in the wilderness, except for two. Yahshua and Caleb. Verse 6, now these things were for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. And see, we see that Cain lusted. He lusted for that glory that Yahweh had given Abel. And he didn't get it. So therefore, he committed a sin. He went and killed his brother. It says, now these things were for example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, and some of them committed. And 23,000 fell in one day. In Numbers 23. Neither let us make trial of Yahweh, as some of them made trial and perished by the serpent. And it was in Numbers 21. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our warning upon whom the end of the ages have come. So this was written for us, brethren, so that we would not lust after evil things. Therefore let him that thinks he stands watch out, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. So Cain had the way of escape. He just chose not to use it. Each one of us has a way of escape. We have to choose to use it. If not, then we're going to be destroyed. We're going to end up in Gehenna because we chose not to heed the warning from Almighty Yahweh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we have obtained mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yahweh deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. And even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world, Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Because if you believe, you're not going to fall subject to accepting and following Satan the devil in this that he's trying to do. That the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah Yahshua as sovereign, and ourselves as your servants for Yahshua's sake, seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. Excuse me. And that Torah is the light. As we keep that Torah, that light in our hearts, shining brightly, we will constantly stay in tune with what Yahweh wants us to do in keeping the covenant. In verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of Yahweh and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not to despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of Yahshua, that the life also of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Yahshua's sake, that the life of Yahshua may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and we therefore also speak. See, this goes back to the words that come out of our mouth. We can speak good or we can speak evil. Satan has come with his speech to divide between us and Yahweh. But we can lift up with our speech, or we can tear down. Verse 14, it says, knowing that he has raised up the sovereign Yahshua, shall raise us up also with Yahshua, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of Yahweh. Therefore we faint not. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And Yahweh is eternal, brethren. He's the only one who can give or grant eternal life. Luke 24. I'm going to start in verse 44. And he said to them, and this is Yahshua who's talking, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their mind, that they might understand the scriptures. And that's what we want Yahshua to do for each and every one of us, brethren. And he said to them, in this manner it is written that the Messiah should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations. And this is our commission, brethren. This is what we have to do. Beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but stay you in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. And that's the Holy Spirit that Yahweh has given us. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing Yahweh. So they were doing what was right with their mouths. They were blessing Yahweh, which is something that we need to do more of. We need to give glory to Almighty Yahweh for each and every little blessing that we have. See? In this book, War of Words, that I've been preaching from, using this as a base for a lot of this connected to the source, I'm going to read a passage here from page 194. It says, Peter tells us that there will be people who know the Master, but whose lives are ineffective and unproductive. Their lives do not produce the harvest of good fruit that you would expect in the life of a believer. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. You think about people who've said that they believe that Yahshua is their Messiah that have gone astray. What has gone wrong? Well, Peter says that these people are missing the essential qualities of character, Messiah-like, that produce a good harvest, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, holiness, brotherly kindness, and love. This leaves us with yet another question. Why would a believer not diligently pursue these things? Peter answers, if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Peter says, that when you and I forget who we are, when we forget the magnitude of our sin and the glories of Yahweh, Yahweh's forgiveness, we will quit pursuing all that we have found in Messiah. When you forget your sin and his forgiveness, you lose sight of the fact that apart from him, no good thing dwells in you. You begin to think of yourself as not being so bad. Maybe even pretty good on the whole. Your sins of talk starts to look insignificant. You don't look at yourself, as Paul did near the end of his ministry, as the worst of sinners from 1 Timothy 1:15. You lose your sense of your evangelist identity, and in so doing, an urgency for pursuing the Messiah. He says, I am convinced that many believers lose sight of this. They see themselves as basically good, and this perception radically affects their pursuit of the Messiah, as well as the way they respond to the sin of others. If we want to stay connected to the source, to Almighty Yahweh, we have to continually keep our tongue in check. We have to continually seek to do that which is right in Almighty Yahweh's sight. Go over to James or Jacob chapter 3. It's Jacob chapter 3. It says in verse 1, do not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive the heavier judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbles not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Now if we put horses' bridles into their mouths that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the steersman wills. So the tongue also is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. The whirl of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by Gehenna. And if we don't want to end there, brethren, we have to get our tongues under control and think about what we say when we say it and think about the motivation behind it. For every kind of beast and birds, of creeping things and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless Yahweh and Father, and with it we curse men, who are made after the likeness of Elohim. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine fig? Neither can salt water yield sweet. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and factions in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and factions are, there is confusion in every vile deed. When Cain had that jealousy against Abel, he allowed the sin to control him, to take over him. Therefore, he was blinded by that sin and went and killed his brother. We cannot allow sin to blind us, brother. It says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. And Yahshua's servants are a peaceful people. We're trying to seek to be like Yahshua, to emulate his life, to be an example to the people around us, so that the people will give glory to Almighty Yahweh when they see his servants. Jacob chapter 4, right across the page, verse 1, it says, from where come wars and from where come fightings among you? Come they not from here, even your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. Cain coveted Abel's praise from Yahweh. And he killed for that and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. Cain could have asked Yahweh, what is it that I need to do to receive praise? What is it that I need to do so that I can receive a blessing like Abel? In verse 4 it says, you adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? It's going to take you away from Yahweh. Whoever therefore would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. Does that mean we can't have friends out in the world? There are people out there that are, how do I want to put it, better friends than friends in the faith that are in the world. I know some people that, you know, if I need to be hidden, they would hide me from the authorities if they were seeking me, you know, for this religious thing. But, you know, it goes back to trust. It goes back to faith. We trust Yahweh. We have faith in him. He's going to bless us and protect us and give us the things we have need of. If it's our time, then it's our time. And we're going to have to deal with it. And truly, Yahweh is blessing and raising a people who are going to be faithful in everything that he asked them to do, even till death. It says in verse 5, or do you think that the scripture speaks in vain? Because the scripture does speak to us because it's the word of Yahweh. We have to differentiate between the word of Yahweh and the words that Satan is trying to put in our heads. You can tell which is which because the word of Yahweh is going to yield peace. It's going to cause you to keep the covenant. It's not going to cause you to sin. But the words of the evil one are going to pull you away from Yahweh. They're going to cause you to sin against Almighty Yahweh. Does the spirit which he made to dwell in us long to envy? No, it doesn't. But he gives more grace. Therefore, the scripture says, Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be subject to Yahweh, brethren. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And how do we do that in our daily walk? You know, just like Cain was given a warning. We are giving warnings from the word of Yahweh. Yahweh communicates with us. He speaks with us on a daily basis. He tells us what we need to do and how to do it. Verse 8, draw near to Yahweh and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, that your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall exalt you. Speak not against one another, brethren. He that speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. We have to watch what we say out of our mouths, brethren. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you who judges your neighbor? And we're not supposed to judge our neighbor. We're supposed to rebuke our neighbor if they're violating the covenant. We can be a witness to them. But we don't hit them over the head with a 90-pound Bible. We have to entreat them peacefully. We have to show them the love that we want to be shown. Yahweh wants us connected to him. And we want to be connected to the source. But for us to be connected to the source, we have to understand and have control over what comes out of our mouth. Because we have to edify and not tear down. Luke chapter 18. That's Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. And he spoke. This is Yahshua again speaking. See, these words are powerful, and they're life, if we take them and use them for the purpose in which Yahshua gave them. And he spoke also this parable to a certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despising all others. And we can't be like that, brother. We have to be humble. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Elohim, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. See? He raised himself up. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. He was humble, but struck his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized who he was. The Pharisee didn't recognize that he was a sinner, but the publican knew he was. And he asked the right things of Yahweh. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Brethren, true repentance must be had for us to overcome this life. We must truly love each other, not justifying ourselves, but laying it all on the altar of sacrifice of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. For us to stay connected to the source, brethren, we have to trust in Yahweh. And we have to do what he commands us to do, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love our enemy as well. It's very difficult for people to do this because they've placed so much on themselves and they look at themselves as being better and more important than anyone else. But Satan is the one that's trying to get people disconnected from Yahweh. For us to be connected to the source is essential for us to have salvation and to be in the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. I want each and every one of you, as you pray and continue to ask Almighty Yahweh to bless this ministry as well as your lives and your families, that you think about Yahshua's sacrifice and what he did for each and every one of us. And as we think about that sacrifice, we'll realize it'll humble us, because there's nothing, there's no righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, as it says in the scriptures. We don't have it. It's only through his shed blood that we have this opportunity to be in the kingdom of Yahweh when Yahshua returns. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you seek to do that which is right in his sight. At this time, I'll ask Brother Joel Worrell to close with a word of prayer.
Right there. So about your Heavenly Father, you are the creator of all things, the one who sustains us and who does all things. We know that without your power, nothing would exist. We wouldn't be able to think or to breathe or to know about you, mighty Yahweh. And it is the greatest blessing to know of your love and of your care that your son Yahshua showed to us through his sacrifice. And we're so grateful for the blessings that you show to us. We know that it's through you that all things are possible. We thank you for all the lessons we've learned today and pray that it might apply them to our lives and that maybe we become better people for you, Yahweh, because we certainly want to serve you better, become more like your son, Yahshua, and to be able to be more pleasant to your sight. We ask this prayer and pray that you might bless the rest of the Sabbath day. We ask this prayer in your son's name. Hallelujah.
You could lead us in this last song. Okay.